Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Ladies and gentlemen, Emmy-nominated actor, comedian, extraordinaire, O.T. Fag Bentley, everybody. Make some noise. Thank you for coming through, bro.
Oh, my pleasure. All the time for you.
That was amazing, right?
It was.
That was a great first episode. This was so fun to write with. 2017, Danisha reminded me, we started writing this. I don't know if you had writing sessions before that.
Yeah, it was a bit of a strange process for how I wrote it, because I had ideas for the episodes, but I don't know about if there are any writers here. Sitting in front of that blank page is always intimidating for me. And so we came up with the idea of bringing some excellent improv actors together, like yourself. And just started developing the script out from there.
That's what's up. How'd this idea even come about?
You know what? I'd come up with this idea for, I don't know, it was like a teen vampire TV show idea. And I'd taken it to this channel, Channel 4 in the UK. And they were like, yo, we'll make a pilot out of this, but what's your part in it? And I didn't have a part for me in it. So I went home that day and I was like, oh, man, if they really want something with me, what would I write for me? Yeah. And I was like, I know I've got this dickhead character inside me that needs a place to live.
So, you play him very well.
Craig David dickhead.
Okay. Yeah. Does art imitate life, though?
Well, you know what? To be honest, to some extent, you know, it's like I know my own ego sometimes, and I hate it. Whenever it comes up, my insecurities, And so, you know, it's my insecurities times 10, it's my ego times 10, but I guess in some ways, yeah, it was a look at, like, you know, how badly we, at the time, I was going through this terrible breakup, and,
That'll do it.
Yeah.
Red pill. Red pill Duke strikes again.
We're not doing that.
Yeah, don't waste a good breakup, my goodness. And so, I just needed a place to put all this pain and insecurity in, so Max was born.
Listen, Idonia said, good pum pum, make song.
Wow.
That's what he said. Wise words.
I'm going to take that home with me.
That's wise words. But is there something you speak on insecurities and ego? And in this, clearly, falling off is a huge thing for him. Do you have a fear of falling off?
Yeah, well, funnily enough, at the time, I'd got my first lead in a TV show, right?
Okay.
And so I was like, boom, here we go. My girl left me, but it don't matter because I'm on TV. And it bombed. It bombed.
What was
so
the show?
Hard.
We need to know. We got to find the files.
It was called The Interceptor. But it was, and I was playing The Interceptor. There was nowhere to hide.
There's no one to intercept.
Yeah, the critics intercepted me and said, stop, no, don't. So I was kind of, you know, there was this mix of things. I was heartbroken. My thing didn't work. And I was just like, oh, it's the end of me.
Nice. Yeah. So that's where that came from.
Yeah.
That's what's up.
That was the birth of it.
And you have like a theme of being in Toronto for really huge events.
Yeah.
What is with you in this city?
I love the city, man. I don't know what to say. I love it. I mean, we shoot Handmaid's Tale out here. And so that's had me come out here like 6 months a year, every year.
I thought I was going to see you on set. I did it one day.
What?
Yeah. I'm like a guard.
He's a security guard.
Oh, yeah. I think you remember.
Big line.
Me.
I was like, all right. That was it.
Nice. You should have thrown some improv in there.
I tried. They really? There's no wiggle room.
They were like, let's take that out.
Maybe no knock-knock jokes. Yeah, definitely.
But I love it. I mean, look, the winter's tough out here, boy.
Very tough.
But the summer, the spring, the fall, it's magic.
Yeah, definitely. And you did, what other projects did you do here?
I'm trying to think. I mean, it was mainly just Handmaids and
Max.
Oh, no, I shot this movie. There's a movie, whenever I go to Nigeria, no one knows me for anything apart from this movie, which is called Double Wedding, which I did with Tien Tamera.
And I've never seen that.
And I'm stuck between, I get them mixed up. Yeah. You know, it's me and the twins.
Nice little Hallmark movie.
Yeah, exactly. But in Nigeria, that double wedding. You know, that's my coming to America.
And you are Nigerian, right?
Yeah, I'm half Nigerian.
Ola Tunde.
Boom, boom.
We have a Congolese right here.
Okay, yes, my brother. I see you.
Is our resident African?
Yep.
Okay.
It's kind of strange.
You got the resident African and the resident Filipino.
Resident Filipino.
And right. the resident biracial.
She's biracial. She's biracial, girl.
Got it all, and then the biracial dad.
I didn't know we had a song.
Well, now you guys
I'm biracial too.
Yeah. Gay. Nah, that's amazing. And when did you start out with acting and writing and all that?
I was like, I actually started off playing the saxophone. I was like, you know, 10, 11 years old playing the saxophone. My uncle, like Nigerian uncle, not my real uncle, was doing like African plays. And so he would have me go and play the saxophone during the intermission.
Slowly,
he gave me a line here in the show. Like, and then within 2 years, I was playing the lead in the show.
Wow.
And so, you know, then went drama school and all that stuff. But that's really how I started. My Uncle Rufus gave him my shot.
That's nepotism.
Yeah, exactly.
Nepo, baby.
Right, but he's passed out. So.
Yeah.
That's
my bad.
It's dark humor. You gotta get used to it. It took me a while. I was like, there's so many times you're like, is he serious right now?
No, that's the only time I laugh though. It's like I only like dark humor.
Except if it's coming from
exactly.
From he was gonna say,
yeah, I was gonna say, well,
whatever I say, you have dark humor. You just have your realistic
thought. Dark. Okay.
Literally and figuratively.
Racist. So you grew up in a few places, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Born in Nigeria?
I was actually born in England, then moved to Nigeria, back and forth, Nigeria, England.
And then also Spain somehow in the mix.
That's right. That was random.
Where in Spain?
In Cadiz, which is near Gibraltar. We could, on a clear day, you can see Morocco, you can see Africa across the coast.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's
really cool.
That's
so
cool.
It was like a small town, and I was basically the only black person in the town.
Biracial.
Yeah. And, but it was a great experience, to be honest, yeah.
Can you speak Espanol?
I don't speak Espanol. I went to like, it was like an English enclave in Spain.
True.
And so in my 30s, I tried to learn Spanish. I'm not good at languages. It's embarrassing.
And then you mentioned earlier when we were talking to us that your mom's in Tanzania. So you spent some time during the pandemic out there, right?
Yeah, because my mom's English, but she lives in Tanzania in this beautiful little town called Bagamoyo on the coast. It's a little fishing village town.
Nice.
And when everything was shutting down, my mom was like, the world is ending. You're coming with me. Yeah. And I was like, yes, mom. And so I went out there and it was a transformative time in my life. You know, the Tanzanian people are beautiful hearted people. And I did a lot of community work out there, you know, with the local hospital. We built a basketball court out there, worked with the local school. And my niece and nephew who were with me, I was homeschooling them. And so it was just like, just a really rejuvenating, connecting time for me in Tanzania.
It was a great pause, right?
I mean, to be honest, I didn't want it to end.
Yeah, I was going to ask, did you contemplate, like, should I just stay here?
100%. I mean, more than contemplate, I had plans. You know, my plan was to, but you know, things... Life happens. You know.
The bug.
Yeah.
And obviously you played Obama. Which is one of the those.
Yes.
How many times do people ask you to do that? Is it like Chadwick Boseman doing the Wakanda everywhere?
Yeah, you know what? I had people ask me to do their answer machine messages for them. So
that would make sense.
That's amazing.
People still have answering machines?
On their voicemail. Oh, listen, you're a young man. Old people like me, we have answer machines.
Yeah.
Tape.
I mean, we have it. I don't know if people use it.
I don't record my own. I just let that robot do it for me, you know?
All right.
There's a robot?
Like, yeah, on just like a regular voice. I don't know who records. I don't know who's... Like, what?
I thought we were talking about leaving the message.
Marlon Palmer.
Not playing the message.
Oh, leave messages, yes. Yeah. Mainly older people, though.
That's what I'm saying. When was the last time you guys left a message?
Oh.
Because I just texted. If I'd have missed the person,
exactly.
I'm just saying,
no one leaves messages.
Well, when I try to call my nanny and she doesn't answer, then I have to be like, hi, it's Alicia.
She only has a landline?
Call me back. Yeah.
I miss landline only people.
Well, you want to have receipts, but you still don't want to show them? Like,
yeah.
Right. Hey, I left the message. Like, who leaves messages? My part. You know?
Was it a lot of pressure playing Obama, especially not being American?
Hell yeah. Yeah. I mean, funny enough, you know, I had an opportunity to play another American hero, and I turned it down because of that. Because I was like, I think this person should be played by an American. It was still played by a Brit, so I should have done it. But but playing Obama was, yeah, it was stressful, man. People really know that dude. Like, yeah. if people fully know what that dude was like, more than almost anyone. Like, even Mandela. Like, everyone, okay, you know what Mandela. But you haven't seen as much footage of Mandela as you've seen footage of Obama. Like, exactly. You haven't. Yeah. So yeah, it was a lot of pressure. And the voice, he's got a weird way of talking, which also isn't consistent. Yeah. And so, but it was fascinating getting into the, you know, the deeps.
And you're
how
a comedian.
Would you practice?
Yeah, that's what I want to know.
How do you just get into conversation with people? Just
and how do you not make it comedic?
So I mean, listen, I was always trying to make jokes in it, but one of the weirdest ways I would practice was at the time I'd got into VR, and I had a VR headset where you, it's like a shooting game, like it was kind of like paintball, like you go and you shoot people, but you team up.
Yeah.
So I would go in as Obama,
nice,
as a way of like
trying
you know
to practice.
Yeah, practicing.
So how long did it take you to kind of learn his mannerisms?
It was about 3 months. And I work with a lot of people. I work with like three dialect coaches. I work with movement coaches.
Did you work with Obama?
That's what I'm saying. That was
no,
the
you know
question.
What? We had a bit of a falling out. He still owes me some money.
He owes a lot of people some money.
Yeah. We're not really chatting right now. So it's just me and Michelle text sometimes. That's it. So.
But do you know if you've seen it?
I don't know. I know nothing of Obama's reaction to it. To be honest, I don't want... I mean...
Does that make it weird for you?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm sure he's got bigger things on his plate. Like I'm sure there are assassins out there, but he's not really one. What, you know, did he really get me right in that movie? I don't, you know, so it's whatever. He's doing his thing, I'm doing mine. We've had a breakup. Just
there's not many people that are alive to see somebody play them.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Ray Charles didn't get to see Jamie Foxx.
Right.
All the people that played Elvis Elvis didn't get to see them.
Yeah. Right.
But Obama had the chance to probably see you.
I think he has.
He must.
I would.
Yeah. I feel like he's a little tapped in. I feel like he's like Beyonce, you know? Beyonce secretly knows everything on the internet. Right. I feel like he's like that too.
So you think the fact that he hasn't messaged me means he didn't like it?
No.
Yeah. I think he just has to keep that Obama cool of like, when I see you, I see you.
Mystique. Right.
Unless he's going to pull one of the, what was it, Denzel Washington? What's his name?
Damson
on the red carpet, like when somebody asked Denzel, "Oh, do you know who Damson is? Like he might be the next thing." He was like, "I don't know who this man is."
I have no idea what a Damson is.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He knows now, though.
Yeah, he has to.
But what was it like being opposite of Viola Davis?
You know, Viola is an extraordinary human being. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I'm sure everybody relates to meeting someone where you go, "Wow, you're." That's what it's like with Viola, and it's not an overpowering thing. It's like you meet a woman whose roots go all the way in the ground. You know, they go 5 feet deep. You know, you know that you're speaking to a person who's anchored in themselves.
Yeah.
And it was one of the greatest honors of my life getting to work with her.
That's fire. So from feeling that way to being called a nigger, hard R on set. Did you feel away like, you're a nigger? You know what I mean? Like,
That's the greatest meme that came out of that.
I loved it.
I used that many times. I remember someone put up a Cisco song and put, "What these bitches want from a nigga." I was dying.
I got zero comment.
We got him.
Is there an added pressure though when you're working with someone like Viola Davis? Because it's like we're sharing scenes and there's all these people waiting, making sure that we're on timing, we're not wasting film, we're not wasting money or anything like that. Is there an extra pressure when you're like, I'm growing up with someone that is known as a heavyweight?
Yeah, you know, the thing is that so much I think of, well, at least my experience of life, is like, how do I frame things? Mm-hmm. And if I frame it in almost like a competitive way, oh man, is she gonna out-act me? If I frame it in that doesn't bring out the best in me. And the way I frame it, which is also the truth, is I got the best teammate. Mm. I'm gonna go play 2-on-2. I got Jordan on my team.
Facts.
Nice. So we gonna kill.
Yeah.
Cause I got Jordan. Yeah. All I have to do is pass Jordan the ball. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so not really.
You're a Jordan yourself though. Mm. You're an incredible actor.
You can stay.
You're an incredible actor. I love seeing this first episode. I'd never seen the show. Okay. Yeah. This is my first time seeing it.
You should wait for episode 2. There's a guy girl threesome. That was interesting.
Don't remember writing that part.
that was based on you and me hanging out, bro.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that one time. Yeah, apartment 200. Yeah, wow. You know about apartment 200.
It's not. I don't know.
My guy.
Never been there.
You are apartment 100.
I've never been there.
100?
He's 100. You're 100. Oh, man, we got to bring you out.
Bro, to apartment 200?
Yeah, we got to bring him out. Should, yeah. Okay. We got to bring him out.
It's a good time.
He likes he likes the city vibes. Yeah. He likes the vibes.
What happened? I heard like the jeez and stuff in the show.
Jeez.
where are that? Sorry, I stole that from my brother. He's the cool one. What happens in apartment 200?
Duke, fill us in.
What doesn't happen?
What doesn't happen in apartment 200?
I've heard good things. Like it's like a spa. It's a bar. You know what I mean? You have a good time, drink.
At first, I thought you said it's a spa.
No.
And I was like, oh, we getting in the sauna, huh?
No. Okay. What kind of rubbing tug?
I would not invite you to that. No.
Oh, brother.
It's a good time, though. It's like it's on Queen Street West. Have you gone out in the city?
You know what? I'm an old man. Really.
He has.
Same.
He has. Yeah. Yeah.
That's my
he's comment. An old man now, but yeah. Back in the day.
Back in the day.
Yeah, yeah.
What were your spots back then? Do you remember?
Oh, man. Now, don't ask me the questions. My brain don't work. Yeah, my memory.
No. He used to text me like, yo, where do I go?
Really?
Yeah, because he had no idea like what the spots were. And like even now, the spots in Toronto, they change up so much.
Right.
There's so many places that close down. Yeah, exactly. So many places that close down. Like we lose a lot here in terms of entertainment spaces, or what they call third places. Your school, you go work, home, and your third place is like somewhere you go for leisure.
Right. Yeah.
So we lose a lot of those third places often. Is it the same way?
I mean, listen, honestly, I don't leave the house. Mm. So every now and then, a good friend like you will drag me out of a place and bring me to a place. And I'll be like, oh, this is what the young people are doing. Mm. But I wouldn't be the person.
Homebody.
Yeah.
That's what's up. That's
how old are you? If you don't mind.
How dare you?
I'm the eldest statesman in the group, so I'm just saying.
Okay, no, I'm 44.
Okay, cool. See, 40
got club, you beat by a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know. A little bit.
Yeah.
How old are you?
Man. Hey, I always say black don't crack, but flip don't chip.
Oh,
yeah. 3 years younger than you.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay. Man, I could
get
my
41 or you're
moisturizing regimen on point because you're really looking good.
Thank you. Do you be using that Korean skincare?
No.
Korean.
You know, the funny thing is they say
it's a thing.
Is that a thing?
You know what's crazy? They say smoking. They say smoking will like add like 10, 15 years to your life.
Yeah.
And I've been smoking 20 years. So you know how young I would look if I didn't smoke? I had to smoke to get to this level of age, so I could look somewhat close enough to my age. Otherwise, I still look 20.
Oh, so, yeah. I hear
that's crazy.
You.
Yeah.
Asian jeans. That's what it is. Asian jeans.
I hear that. With Handmaid's Tale, obviously very dystopian. Majority of my friends are terrified to even watch the show.
Right.
How much of that do you think will actually come to fruition? Are there any parts in the show where you're like, that genuinely terrified you? Because you're like, we are kind of headed that way.
Well, one of the terrifying thing is Margaret Atwood, when she wrote the book, all the things that happened to the women are things that have happened around the world.
Okay.
So that's terrifying in itself to think this isn't some dystopian thing in the future. This is something that is either going on now or has happened.
Already happened.
And history always repeats itself, right?
Yeah. Now, that being said, I'm generally an optimist. I generally think that the world is, you know, the Martin Luther King quote, and the moral arc of the universe is long, but it bends towards justice. I think, you know, there's so much wrong in the world, but I do think the moral arc of the universe does bend towards justice.
Absolutely. So who do you have, Kendrick versus Drake?
Oh, right.
Where's justice bending towards? What's going on?
Is this the question?
This is the question.
I mean, to be honest, my brain loves Kendrick. Mm-hmm. My heart loves Drake.
That's biracial.
Okay, where does J. Cole lie in all this, though? Because people say it's Kendrick Drake, but I think it's Kendrick J. Cole.
Yeah.
Okay. So where do you think J. Cole...
I prefer listening to J. Cole tracks, but Kendrick's got a level where I'm like, oh my gosh, my head is... You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So
I wonder if that contributes to the, like... I don't find Kendrick's majority of his albums, at least, to have a lot of replay value.
Right.
It's like a movie that you watch that has a twist ending, and you're like,
right.
Well, I know it now. I can't watch this for another like 6-7 years.
Yeah.
And so, like, a lot of the times, he has those, obviously, those one or two bops on every album that's going to be played nonstop. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, I'm like, this is trauma.mp3, and I cannot.
Good Kid, Mad City has a lot of replay value.
And a lot of trauma.
Okay.
You don't think so?
I don't know. I never listened to it.
Good Kid, Mad City is my favorite album by him. I don't think he's done better. Section 80 is close second. But these last three albums, To Pimp a Butterfly, Damn, and Mr. Morale.
And the Big Stepper.
Mr. Morale and Big Stepper. Not a lot of replay value.
I think Damn is the only one that I've listened to a few from. That's it.
Yeah. What do you guys tell you? Damn is the best Kendrick one?
Section 80? Section 80? To Pimp a Butterfly?
Stand up. Who said that?
Pimp, hooray.
Who said what?
What album?
Loving You Is Complicated.
It's terrible.
That's his track right there. Loving You Is Complicated. That nigga is too much for me, man.
Terrible. Absolutely terrible.
Did you guys see Metro Boomin posted today that there have been 416 numbers.
Yeah,
different 416 numbers. Non-stop hitting him on his phone.
The day that the album dropped, he said that he started getting spammed by 416 numbers. Mm-hmm. So much that they hacked into his iCloud. They were able to port his number over to a different company. So they completely took it over. They were texting his Balenciaga rep, putting in mad orders.
For even Chanel.
Even asked for Chanel purses. And he's like, huh?
This
like
is the Balenciaga.
Rep was like, huh? and he had to like do a whole police investigation, try to get his number back and all that stuff. And I just think that Drake got the goose.
This is one
remember
of those
what
things.
Happened to Pusha T?
See, this is one of those things.
He has
like,
those
is it a
people.
Super fan or is this
Drake?
Because do you guys also remember when Pusha T,
yes.
the whole Pusha T thing happened?
When
there were
here.
These random tweets, thousands of tweets. Saying the most bizarre things about Pusha, like they're making Photoshop pictures of him on like Egyptian sphinxes with snakes coming out of his mouth. And it was just the most weird thing ever. And now Metro Boomin was getting a lot of those same tweets to his account as well. So just.
But also remember when he came here and then a good percentage of the venue was bought. Like, it was empty. The first couple of rows were super empty because Drake and his team bought those. And then he got booed on stage because a bunch of Drake fans went there.
Oh, Pusha.
Pusha.
I thought you were talking about Metro. I'm like, what?
No, Pusha.
Oh, yeah. And then he got jumped.
Yeah, drinks at him. They got jumped here. All the things. So.
Damn.
I feel like.
Can't play with the biracial, man.
Somebody in the man has, camp.
If the man has, you know, the border, Homeland Security on his side. He gets the pass. People can't get in. They call Drake, and they're like, all right, you're allowed. Drake said you're in.
Yeah, they got DaBaby over here. He killed someone in a Walmart. That's power.
That's a fact.
But.
He's just learning this.
But to be fair,
it was self-defense,
okay?
So he says.
So what happened was, I think it was on, like, an Instagram Live or something like that,
oh,
too.
Oh, wow.
There was video of it. Yeah, damn. The guy was, like, harassing his family, following him around. Yeah. Walmart, talking all this shit. He was with his girl
his
at the time and his daughter, who was really young, and they were following him around the Walmart, just talking mad shit, and then tried to get into a fight with him. I think the guy pulled a gun at him, and then
he flashed his gun at him.
Yeah, he flashed a gun, and then DaBaby shot him, ended up killing him, and yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
It was self-defense. We all make mistakes.
But he's gone. Obviously, has other criminal charges.
Yeah, he's a wild boy.
Long list.
He's a wild boy. People make mistakes. This show is a lot about fucking up and making mistakes. Like, what are some mistakes along your way that you've made that you probably are like, I could have done that a little bit better?
Well, I wish I'd been prepped for this part.
Tanisha. Okay.
Some mistake. I mean, my whole life has been littered with mistakes. Like career
mistakes. Career wise.
Oh my goodness!
Or life advice, you know.
Oh man!
Fucking up on the low.
I'm trying. You might have to come back to me. I'm trying to think.
I'm trying to narrow it down.
I look at your character. I'm like, I wonder how much he really pulled from his actual life.
Yeah.
Right.
You really play a good fuck up. I was like, he's doing this way too well.
You got the relationship part from his ex, and then the falling off from the one show that didn't go the way you wanted.
Yeah, I mean, geez. I just, some of them are so embarrassing. What I'm really, it's not that I can't think of any. I'm just like, I don't know if I can.
Which one should I filter on?
This with the world.
Give us the worst.
No.
The worst.
Okay, I'll shame myself. Peer pressure.
Peer pressure,
again.
Baby.
Okay, the biggest mistake I made was falling into this peer pressure.
I tried.
You know what, actually? I mean, this isn't even, it's not even a funny story. Mm. But basically, I came up with this great agent in England who is like the only black female agent in England. And, you know, she picked me up from drama school and we worked together and things were going great. I did The Interceptor with her. Anyway, the point is, at some point, I got quite big for my britches and I was like, look, I need more. You know, like, you got to get me more. And she weren't really answering me the way I was hoping. And I was like, all right, you know what? I'm moving on. So I left her and went with another agent. Another, you know, general, you know, I don't need to say general agent, you know what I'm saying. And I always regretted that. I thought, oh man, I should have stuck with her because it didn't really make any difference. It didn't really make any difference. And, you know, I prefer to stick by people. So, yeah, that's something. If Dawn, if you're listening, I miss you.
Come back to me.
Baby, come back.
It's one of those situations where the grass ain't always greener on the other side.
Exactly. Absolutely. And being with especially teammates who've consistently had your back and like, you know,
that's
rooted
tough
for you when you weren't where you are.
That's tough. Yeah, that's very tough. But like, yeah, it's tough to make those decisions, especially when you know it's for the betterment of yourself, but not for the betterment of them.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. And to be honest, I don't even know if there's a moral of the story, because I know there's another person out there who's got the same story and said, I left, it was tough, but it was the best thing for me, and it helped me blossom, you know. So I don't even know the moral of the story. I'm just saying, for myself, I just thought nothing that happened after that couldn't have happened with that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's tough, too, because, like, people always have their own versions. Like, there's sometimes you hear from the agent perspective, oh, yeah, I brought him to this point, and he just left me high and dry. Everybody has their own perspective, right? And, like, I feel like a part of the reason why sometimes that's hard for me is, like, I don't want their perspective to be that skewed. And I don't know how, I can't control that.
Yeah, I know.
No matter what I say, there's no polite way to be like, you're fired.
Right.
Yeah. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, because no, I think there's a need your services.
Yeah.
Right. There's a part of us that wants to be liked by other people, want to be understood by people. And part, I think, of my journey is maturation is letting go to some extent of what other people think.
Absolutely.
And it's something I still struggle with, but it's so necessary.
Yeah, especially as someone who's doing like public work. Like, open to scrutiny all the time.
All the time.
Is that why you don't use social media too much?
Yeah, I came off social media a little while ago. I was just like, this is not feeding me more than I'm feeding it. And so why am I feeding this beast? It's just like taking from me. And when I took a break, I didn't really miss it. Like when you're on it, it's like every 5 minutes, you're like, oh, let me check this. You know, but then when it was gone, I was like,
oh,
it's like most addictions.
Yeah, what am I really missing out on?
It's like most addictions.
Yeah,
yeah, for
exactly.
sure. Definitely.
You really feel like you're missing out when you're in the mix, but the moment you like
exactly
out, just
out
of sight, out of mind.
Yeah.
A lot of things don't change. I always say that in regards to leaving a city. People are like, oh, maybe I'm going to miss out on stuff. And it's like, no, you're really not going to miss out on anything. Like, you could leave and come back, and majority of the people are going to be the exact same.
Isn't that terrifying? Isn't that like a shock to the system a little bit? Like, you came back, and some people, they're gotten older, but they're literally in the same spot. Do you attribute that to Toronto or the person?
No, I think that's a worldwide thing. I don't think it's just specific to Toronto. Maybe there are more percentage of people who are just like okay and coasting because our infrastructure is a lot harder to break into in regards to a certain like field. But I think that it's the same. I've seen people like go back in Detroit and they're living this exact same life. Go back to people in DC, you're in like the capital, you're in a hot spot, and they're still doing the same shit.
People are people.
Like, you know, so. Yeah.
Explain the same shit. I'm just here listening.
Same shit, like they're stagnant.
As when
they're
I
in
left
the same
them.
Position.
They haven't really done
said
anything.
They had plans. Usually it's people who say they had plans for this and that and this and that.
All right.
Or have, especially like when you're in the entertainment field, everybody has a job for you that they thought, oh, I have this thing for you. Yeah. I want to get you involved,
or
blah,
just,
blah.
Or as like we age, right? So when I lived in DC, I was early 20s, and my friends that I hung out with were like close to their late 20s, right? So if I go back and now I'm in almost my mid 30s and you are 40 and you're doing the exact same thing as you were then, it's like, where's the evolution? Because the things that you're doing then were childish, right?
Okay.
Like party promoters, like just hanging out, being around girls all the time. Like
any party promoters in the room? Yeah. Shut to your face.
Everybody was kind of young though. So. But I'm just saying, like, where is the growth with it? Like, are you owning the club now? Like, what are your different avenues? How are you expanding from just being a party promoter?
Yeah.
Because now you're 40. You haven't settled down. You haven't found, like, you haven't created a life outside of the club. That's the type of stuff where I look at them like, what's really going on?
It's like hanging out with someone from high school and they're still talking about the same high school things.
Yeah.
Same gossip. Same.
Yeah, but I feel like it's kind of nostalgic. I mean, then again, I'm 28, turning 29, right? So it's like when I do hang out with friends from high school and they're telling those stories, I'm like, yeah, like I still laugh at it. I
won't stories.
Still talking about that story, my nigga? Like,
no, the story, no, the stories are fine. But yeah. I mean, in terms of how they act, it's still very much a high school mentality.
Like, I had a best friend at one point where she acts the exact same now. She has two kids. She's been married and divorced. She's about to be 34, and she still kind of acts the same way she did in high school. And I'm like, these are reasons why we're not as close. And she'll be like, oh, why aren't we close anymore? It's like, you haven't grown. Like,
do you feel guilty?
She knows now because you just told her.
So. I will always tell her.
Is there any guilt when you have to, like, I guess, leave a friend behind? Like, have you guys ever had to be like, I got to separate from you for whatever reason?
I think I'm kind of dealing with that now. Like, at this age is right around the times where you're hanging out with people. You're like, it's not working anymore, man. Mm-hmm. But it's like, I still keep them around because it's like,
27, 28 is that time.
You
for
just
sure.
the friendship doesn't end. You just transitions. You know what I mean? It's like,
but it's even like what OT said in regards to his agent, right? Mm-hmm. It's evolution. There's sometimes you just outgrow and you're like, okay, like let's see if this person aligns more with my goals. And I don't ever think it's a bad thing to be like, okay, I'm gonna move on. Whether you're firing friends or firing coworkers,
it feels traumatic
or
to me.
Whatever,
personally. It's traumatic to me. Yeah, I mean, because like especially like if you've been in the trenches with this person, like he was saying with the agent, like you've been in the trenches. This person had your back through like some thick times, but they're just detracting from your life. So it's like, I gotta separate.
If you're not doing it from like a hurtful, malicious place, then it shouldn't. If this person has really been riding with you, they should understand like, hey, I'm not here anymore. If you're gonna be here, that's on you.
Yeah.
You know, like I'm growing. I'm not wasting no time. I'm gonna keep it this way.
It's also that like do unto others thing. It's just one of the things I always come back to, which is like, if it was the other way around, do I want a friend of mine to hang out with me because he feels sorry for me or he doesn't want me? He'll think that I will be upset. Nah, bro, go. Like, don't stay. So the other part of it, because it can be codependent, is that you stay around for them, but they need you to go to grow.
Facts.
Then, you know what I'm saying?
Facts.
So real.
Yeah, that's very real.
Like,
very real.
I don't really have that many friends since high school days. Mm-hmm. Like, there's rarely anybody that I talk to. And if I do talk to them, I don't even talk to them all the time. But when I do go back around, it's still love. They don't criticize me like, oh, why are we hanging out like we used to?
Some people will hold it against you. And it's super wild to me.
If they do that, then that's on them. Yeah. That's not a me problem. That's on, like, them. That's a trauma or whatever they need to work on in therapy and not with me. Because it's not like I've done anything to say, like, oh, you're a bad person, you're not. Like, I would never necessarily say that to them.
Usually it's not what you say. It's just you existing and progressing. A lot of times it's a projecting thing where people, they envision themselves at a certain place, especially, like, we're talking about 27, 28. Like, so many people think they're supposed to be at a certain place at 25. 25 seems to be the magic year for everyone.
Insane,
and you're almost never where you thought you're supposed to be at 25. And then that's when the evaluation and, oh, I should start doing this. I should start cutting this person off. Mm-hmm. By 28, then you have you might have a whole new dynamic of friendships.
Yeah.
And so it's,
especially when you start getting into the workforce.
Yeah, right? That too.
Because you just did this in the last couple of years, right? Started getting into like a full-time job and
No, I've been working since I was 15, baby.
No, but full time at the place you're at right now.
Oh, place you're at? No, right now. No, yeah, yeah, yeah.
A real career though.
Oh, okay, no.
I've been working.
I was at McDonald's at 15.
I didn't work at McDonald's.
Yeah, no, my bad, sir. Sorry.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
No,
yes.
I mean like in terms of your actual career.
You're right.
Right?
It's like after you graduate uni. It's been like what? I graduated uni 24. So like I guess yeah, around the 4 years is like having a real job.
Well, that's younger than most people. A lot of people don't start getting like real jobs until they're like 26, 27.
And how did that change the dynamic of your friendships?
You know niggas, man. It's like, oh, you're getting money now, huh? It's like, oh, this guy makes money, and it's like, okay. And
it's like I'm interning.
Or like weird competition stuff, you know? And it's like you just kind of, it's interesting because people around you spot it before you do. Oh, right, yeah. They start saying, "Wait, why did that person talk to you like that?"
Because you'll look things off because it's your friend.
Exactly. Like, oh, there's no way to that.
He's doing that.
Yeah, and then people start kind of bringing things up, and then you start to assess. You're like, oh, I don't want to deal with this. I don't want to break up with this friend. Mm. You know, so I'm still avoiding it.
Projecting insecurities is a real thing, man. I saw a story of Bryson Tiller. Mm-hmm. He had just recorded Don't.
I know the story. Yeah.
And he showed his friends, and they're all like, "I don't know, bruh. It's mid. I don't even think you should be doing this singing thing. Like, it's just, I don't even know." And he showed it, and another friend, one of his friends, showed it to some girls, I guess, on another day. Mm-hmm. And he was like, "Yo, the girls loved it. Like, they really liked it." Yeah. Put it out, and now, like, that's his biggest song.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's a sticky situation because you have the friends that are going to try to tear you down, and then you have the friends that are just yes men. Yeah. And you have to find the ones that are in between that could, like, be supportive, but not just be like, middle ground.
Yeah, whenever
have you ever had any yes men in your life?
I only keep yes men around. I like them yeses, keep them coming.
We love consent here.
You know what? A large part of my...
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I come from a big family. I got 11 siblings.
Whoa.
And so...
Same.
Jeez.
Oh, for real?
Yeah. Real
okay, happy. Okay. Yeah, and so a lot of my friends are my family members, and they do not mess about. They just tell you how it is, you know, straight. Yeah. So... Yeah, to be honest, yes, man. And also, I come from, if you give me a compliment, I'm immediately like, okay, whatever, you feel
I
like
don't
you
know,
have to say
you're
that.
You're a comedian, you can't take a compliment.
Really? Yeah. No, I'm not, you know, so I kind of, you know, people make
comedians have a hard time taking compliments.
Oh, really?
I always found that, like, especially, even if you're at the club and somebody just did really well, like, and you're telling them, it's like, I could have worked on this, and then they try to, like, deflect the compliment.
Right, yeah, because also, I think as artists, we're very sensitive. We want to know the critique. Like, we
want the truth.
Yeah, exactly.
Nothing
yeah.
but it.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, wasn't it Erykah Badu? I'm really sensitive about my shit.
That was Beyonce.
No. That was Erykah.
Was that Erykah?
That was Erykah.
Was Erykah.
Did Beyonce take that from her? Because that was in the documentary.
It was the look. It was the look. It was the cowgirl look that she took.
But it's a funny thing, though.
In one of Erykah's songs,
she's like, I'm
songs,
an artist. I'm insensitive
like,
about my shit.
Yeah.
I think it's Bag Lady, no?
Tyrone, yeah.
Tyrone? Okay.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Beyonce stole that. She said it at some point in the documentary, and I was like, oh, okay. I thought it was just her.
Yeah, she steals a lot, bro. You know what I'm saying?
She steals a lot.
Wow.
That was Duke that said that. Behind.
That's fine.
So you're about to say it's a funny thing.
Oh, yeah. Well, just in terms of, like, the yes men thing is that, like, a lot of people... You know, I'm just being honest, but, you know, which is the start of someone just trying to be brutal. And, you know, like giving good feedback is challenging for an artist because, you know, I think good feedback does come with the positive, does come with a compliment sandwich, you know, like good feedback does have both. So, I don't know. Yeah, it's hard to figure out, like, who's just being a hater and who's trying to give you their honest truth.
The person that has the most yes men is Kanye. And these yes men, I feel like, have... made him fail.
I feel like this is a personal attack.
She's the biggest fan of Kanye.
Oh, really?
She's the biggest fan in this room of Kanye.
My real last name is not West.
I feel like he has people say no to him, but he's not hearing the no's.
Yeah, I think that
they're like, don't know what I've been through, so I don't give a fuck what you say. I'm Kanye West.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things we love about him.
It's a yes to me.
Yeah, facts.
Like I feel like a lot of times
he'll do something and he has his team there and they're just like not.
What can they say to him?
They could say
what
shit.
I'm saying. He's so. It seems like he has such self belief.
But how do you
think
he got there?
And it's like no matter what you say, I've done this so many times. Okay, but and it's worked. So what are you guys saying?
What's the name of your clothing line?
You don't think that in his earlier stages, it kind of people kept saying yes, 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 yes. If they kind of prevented that from the earlier stages, do you think he still would have been so egotistical at this?
When you mentioned early stages, what time period?
Like when he
was
first starting out.
When he was first starting, he got a lot of notes.
He got a lot of notes when it came to like becoming a rapper. Just producing. Like I understand that, but it's just like once he hit that little fame. Did you ever watch the documentary that's on Netflix?
Yeah, Genius.
Yeah. You remember what's his name? The videographer guy. Yeah.
Hootie.
And he was just like, you could tell that at that point he just changed and everybody just kept saying yes, 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 yes. There was nothing wrong. So it if was, at that yeah. point, it if was. They figured out a way to kind of like keep him humble, then maybe it wouldn't have helped. And he continued to always surround himself with yes men.
I'll push back on that. Jay-Z couldn't even say no to the guy.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
if Jay-Z can't say no, who's going to say no to the guy?
But to her point, I think there was a turning point for sure. But I feel like that turning point goes back to that self-belief, right? He's telling everybody, I can do this.
Yep.
I can become one of the biggest artists in the world. And everyone told him no, and then he did it.
And so it's like,
after that, it's like, why am I listening to anyone?
Yeah.
Why am I listening? And then I do another thing and it works. Yep. Then I do sneakers and it works. Yep. Yeah. Then I change to gospel and it works. Yeah. Like there's so many things that I just keep transforming and I keep deciding it. So it's like for me as somebody that like even working with Kanye, it's like at a certain point it's like, how do I even question this guy?
Yeah.
Because every time he does something, it works.
Exactly.
Even when I say this is a bad idea and it turns out well for him. So it's like, I don't know. Kanye's just different, man.
He's just different.
He is.
I seen a lot of people starting to turn the corner, but like change their opinion on his. It's his wife, right?
Yeah,
Bianca.
That's his wife. Yeah.
Yeah, they got married. You're like, what?
I'm out of the loop. I'm just finding out. This
one. Yeah, no social media here.
No social media here.
He got married last year. Sometime?
I feel like it's 2 years now.
Oh wow!
I don't think
already.
It was 2 years. I think it was sometime last year.
I feel like he announced it quickly after
they
he divorced Kim.
They announced that they got divorced not last year, the year before. So I don't think he married her right away.
I think it was really
because
quick.
Remember he was dating that girl.
2022.
What's that?
Yes.
What's
December 20th.
Julia
Fox. Yeah, he was dating her for a minute, and then he eventually.
December 20th, 2022. So she was close. It was like right at the cusp of 2023, and yeah.
So his new wife was actually working for Yeezy. And she's an architect, and so she was working on like the design team for Yeezy and all that stuff. She's really smart. She has degrees and all that shit. She's from Australia, like
Aussie.
Yeah.
Nice.
So she's not just like a bird that he's just flaunting around and having run naked everywhere.
I think
like,
this. What does he call it? Not social experiment. Visual art or something art.
Visual art.
He calls performance art. That's what he calls performance art. Performance art that he's doing with her makes her look. That way, if that makes sense. She looks like an accessory.
It's weird sometimes.
Yeah. Which is odd. Yeah, but it seems like she's happy. So it's like, I'm like, who am I to say any fucking thing? She seems very happy.
I mean, Kim Kardashian is trying to dress like her now. Isn't that a thing? Like, that's people like, is Kim trying to channel her inner...
he's so out of the loop. He's like, what's going on?
Yeah, I'm
like,
out of
who's
loop
this
too?
Kim Kardashian?
Who is it that you speak of?
Back in my day, we had Marilyn Monroe.
Oh, now we're talking.
Good old Cher back in my day. Lizzo announced that she quit music. And then today said, guys, I didn't quit music. I quit your negative opinions.
Oh, God.
She clearly quit music and got a call. So.
Said, hey, you are actually in a contract.
You are actually contracted. You we got get 15 of. More albums.
You cannot quit.
You're not missing anything, I'm telling you right now. You are not missing anything.
See, and this is the thing, when you come off social media, like I've had those moments where like I came off Twitter for a couple months, mm-hmm. and going back, you just feel so behind. It's like, why am I even, let me just back off again. Like, yeah. it doesn't even make sense. And everything seems so frivolous that people are talking about. Like, why do you exactly. care about that?
Yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I mean?
It's like explaining hip hop shit to people that don't Norm. Listen to hip hop. yeah. Like, wait, it's a beef over this? It's not even a real thing. Like, they're mad because he made a song?
You seen that where it's like, the person was like, who was it? Rory's girlfriend.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, it was Rory. Yeah, yeah.
Rory's girlfriend. So you guys know Rory Amal. Rory's girlfriend, apparently, she doesn't listen to rap at all. So he was, like, trying to explain the Kendrick Drake thing to her. Mm-hmm. And he was like, I don't get it. Did he talk about his family? Yeah. Did he say anything? He's like, no. Did he say his name? No. It's like, so then what's the problem? He's like, I don't know how to explain this to you. Like a rational person. It doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Is his girlfriend? No, his girlfriend's not his baby mom's. Right?
It is.
Oh, they're
yeah.
together now?
Yeah. Yeah. It's not the same girlfriend before. It's a new
Oh, girl. Yeah, yeah. No, but it's not the same dating, yeah. Girl he was dating before.
Kia.
Oh.
I don't know.
Right. Have you guys been watching college ball this weekend?
Yes.
I have not.
You guys been watching college ball, anybody?
Woo.
No? Woo. She's like, I don't fucking
Tomato, tomato. Support women's sports, ball guys. Or
women's ball. College ball has been phenomenal.
They had the most viewed
12 million plus, yeah.
Basketball game in the history with 12.3 million viewers wow. last night for the final. So, wow. I mean, the Elite Eight.
So this is in history, not in NCAA women's history. Just in
just
NCAA
college.
History.
Yeah.
Yeah.
yeah. Wow.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And it's like, this is what happens when, because these new NIL deals that they have essentially allow the college players to get paid from endorsements and stuff and to sell their jerseys and get paid.
Raise their profile.
Pardon me? Yeah, raise their profile. Yeah. yeah, and before.
It allows them to stay in school longer as well. Yeah. I mean, with women, technically, they have to stay anyways. You have to be at least 21 or graduate a four-year program to be able to go to the WNBA.
Oh, so, wow.
Yeah, technically, you need to stay until at least 21. So they're staying a lot longer compared to men who need to just go for 1 year
one and
then be able oh, okay. to.
We're even
go
seeing
to
that
league.
Change now, even yeah. though, like, obviously the men get paid, the disparity is, like,
yeah,
way insane. Different.
Yeah.
But for we're getting storylines now. We're getting mm-hmm. like real mm-hmm. because they are able to come back. We were missing that for a while. Whereas like, what is the rivalry? And mm-hmm. then when you have women who are way more outspoken than they've ever been on the court, mm-hmm. you're seeing Angel Reese catching backlash for yeah. any little thing she does.
Yeah.
Caitlin Clark will talk shit, do this, all that stuff. Like yeah. this, it's gotten so exciting and. I really feel like these women that are in college now mm-hmm. are going to change the WNBA. Mm-hmm. Are you going to follow, if you're watching them in college, are you more likely to follow them in the WNBA?
100%, because you know the story and everything, right?
Yeah.
So, mm-hmm. I don't watch ball, so I'm not going to watch, but.
Wasn't there a woman that was signed to
he
the Big
women.
Three?
They're trying to sign Caitlin Clark to the Big Three, right. and she's.
Yeah, so Ice Cube offered him offered her $5 million to sign for a season, which is crazy because there's no women that actually play in that league. Three, there's women yeah. that, like Lisa Leslie, and there's another woman that coaches the teams, but none that actually play. And what he is doing gives her, I don't know if she's going to do it or not, but gives her an opportunity to make money in the off season without having to go to Europe. Because when That's you go dope. To Europe, like they sometimes get paid, well, more times than not, they get paid way more to play overseas. Not just Europe, China pays a lot as well.
Yeah.
But they get paid way more overseas than what they do in the WNBA.
How come you know so much about women's
I used
basketball?
To play basketball.
Look how tall she is. Okay. Yeah.
She's a hooper. Sheridan right. alumni.
My sister's
here.
A pro hooper.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
where?
Yeah. My sister's got WNBA championship.
What?
Oh, she yeah. smoked you, dog.
Hold on. Who's your sister?
My Temi Fagbenle. Yeah, yeah. Wow. So she's captain of the UK team. She's Jeez. Been Polish champion. It's Italian champion. Everywhere she's gone, first season, they win the championship.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. Wow. So how tall when she played
she's 6'4".
Wow.
Way above your
Yeah.
She smoked you too, dog.
Trying to move one on one. Like,
what? It's taller than you too, nigga.
Okay, that's fine. That's fine. I love that for her. That's why she's in the league. I'm not. I'd have to play a guard. I never did that in my life. When she played in the WNBA, she would have to go overseas in the off-season,
yeah, well, that's
right?
What happened. She played, I think it was one season in the W before going over to Europe. And then she just... You know, within Turkey included, and she just did so well there. She's going to go back to the W this season.
Oh, nice!
But she's been out for like 8-9 years.
Wow!
Yeah.
Wow!
It's
did she decide to go back or?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you know, the right contract and the right opportunity came up, and so yeah, she's taking it.
So that's like Liz Cambage. Cambage.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I feel like it's age Cambage.
Who cares?
Anyways, she's like the really, like, really tall one. I think she's like 6'9 or something. Wow.
She's the one that made the OnlyFans.
Yeah, she made the OnlyFans. Drake used to include her in the rap. Yeah, yeah.
That, the fact that I know that as a reference is nasty.
She's a DJ as well. Yeah, she had.
No, I'm dead ass. She plays ball and she DJs.
You
don't
are
be
a
like,
sick nigga.
Yes, all right. Okay. All right, we're doing this.
You wanted those long legs, eh?
I don't. Listen.
You be shooting for the stars.
I don't. Keep going.
She had a problem with her WNBA contract multiple times, which partly was probably about her attitude, but she just decided not to go back to the W, and she's been playing in China right now and gets so much more money. She was like, why? Like, I'm from Australia. And especially with these players that are from overseas, it's like, why don't I just stay home? Like, your sister's probably way, she was from, lived in UK as well?
Yeah, she's just
so
been
she's
playing
probably,
for
like, so
London
close
team.
To the UK compared to, like, coming to North America. Yep. Probably a lot easier to get home. So it's like, why am I going to uproot my family to make peanuts in the WNBA when I could just stay here?
I feel like Wembanyama could have made more money in Europe.
Sorry, who?
No.
Wembanyama?
No.
They make more money in...
Absolutely. No questions asked. Yeah. It's a tougher league.
Because I was going to say, I would think that him staying and being the face of the European league and being
it
the
could
the
prop it up, yeah.
Would have made him the most highest paid guy in Europe.
Yeah, easily.
Mid-pay level in NBA.
But the mid-paying level in the NBA is higher than the majority of the European league.
And then also, what kind of deal you might get from what Nike is paying him, I can't imagine.
That's true.
And the visibility that you get from the NBA allows your endorsements to... be way bigger than the smaller markets in the European league.
Well, I will also say that the amount that they get paid in the NBA isn't more than what they do in Europe. This is specifically for the women. That's how low WNBA pay is compared to the NBA.
True. Yeah.
So that's why women have to play two seasons in a year and don't really get a break because they need to be able to survive. Like, there's some of them that were only making like $60K.
Caitlin Clark's entry, she's joining the WNBA in May, her entry contract is $75,000. She's made more than that in a week in college. Yeah. Like,
what?
So it's like, that's why you're seeing a lot more women stick around. Like she said, stick around in college, go to Europe and do the extra stuff. Cause that WNBA money, like, it's a real thing. They're not just complaining for no reason. Yeah. It's a real thing.
And there's so many other things. Like, they don't get to have their own private planes. They have to take a regular plane like everybody else. That's what one thing Liz was complaining about. She's like, yo, I'm nearly 7 foot and I have to sit in a regular economy seat to go and play a basketball and then get back on that flight to go back home to play another basketball
game.
They're
not even allowed. Like even if the CEO of the team is like, right, he'll get fined. In fact, I think it was the Aces. They got in trouble for it. He was like, whatever, I'll pay the fine.
Because it's an unfair advantage to the rest of the league if you're able to get privileges. It's not like, I guess in soccer, it's a bit different. Or football, sorry.
Excuse me.
It's a bit different, right? Like, if you're the richer team or whatever, you are allowed
to do whatever
more privileges than other teams. No,
you're looking at me like I don't know nothing about this sport.
Okay.
No, I come from a basketball family. We don't touch that sport.
That makes sense.
So you hoop?
Huh?
Can you hoop?
Yeah, I can hoop. I can beat anyone on this stage in a basketball game.
Let's calm down.
That's a fact.
Let's calm down.
That's a fact.
You can beat Duke for sure because he doesn't play basketball.
Still smoke you, dog.
He said, I'll still smoke you.
They used to call me the Filipino Muggsy Bogues, bro.
Bro.
They didn't do that.
Yo, Norm used to play in a league for 5'7" and under.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
That's not lying.
I don't believe that's
champion you. Hater, man. Champion hater.
What, Marlon, you ball?
Yeah, yeah, I hooped. I hooped a lot.
Okay, that ED you put at the end of it means that mean you can't.
Damn. Got you, man. Muscle memory is muscle memory, brother.
44, 33.
It doesn't matter. That passed.
I wish I was 33. Thank you, sir. Thank you.
I was like, hold on.
Speaking of hoopers, Kevin Durant posted in his Insta story the reasons why he's single.
Oh, man.
Okay.
Get ready for this one.
I'm getting ready.
I feel like it's pretty normal. But it's like, why are you posting this?
No. Yeah. Nothing about this is normal.
Okay. I'm a massive overthinker.
Okay. Check.
Normal.
Saying that is crazy.
I care too deeply.
Check.
Disgusting.
Pretty normal. All right. I'm a be safe type of guy. Message me when you get home. Have a good night type of guy.
This guy's trying to get a date.
Exactly.
It's nasty. But this is my thing. He's always contradicting himself. He's like, I'm very caring. But I also want you to leave, right away.
But I'm also possessive.
I have so much energy.
That means I need to fuck all the time. That's all it says. I have a crazy.
Is that a bad thing, ladies? Having too much energy?
That's a lie. He literally stays at his crib and plays video games.
That's him saying he has a lot of sexual energy that he needs to fuck.
He is bisexual there. I see that.
I need to fuck all the time.
I also feel like that's a plus. Yeah. I give my all to people who don't give me half back.
Aww.
Aww. Poor plus.
Does that mean his money?
Hey, who knows? I would do anything to make someone happy, even if it means I get hurt in the process.
Okay. Tell that to the Brooklyn Nets.
Tell that to Kyrie, brother. I'll push you away when I feel like the energy isn't reciprocated.
All right.
Now that's who our Brad.
You are 35. Like, why is nobody talking about that? That's the biggest thing. Keep going, though. It's 35, saying this is nasty.
This is the nasty part for 35.
That's the nasty
I need reassurance all the time.
All right. All right.
All the ladies are like, ugh.
Yeah. He's a mama's boy.
Wait, what's wrong with reassurance all the time?
All the time?
What's all the, wait, all what's too much? What's the, like a limit?
You need
once
reassurance.
A week? Because I'm like, don't most people in relationships kind of need reassurance?
Oh, you're asking me?
I'm asking everybody. You guys don't need reassurance?
There's nothing wrong with a little reassurance.
I like reassurance.
I'm never going to say it, though.
Why?
But you kind of just did.
It's like the Kodak meme. I hope so.
I hope so.
No, but I think there's like a fine line. People who constantly seek the reassurance, that's a different thing. Yeah. Like,
I feel like when it's constantly seeked verbally.
Yeah.
That's when it's like annoying. If you're constantly seeking it but not saying a word, like he's saying,
you're just slamming doors.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Just being childish, then yeah.
I'm not going to change.
Reassure me.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, there's other ways to show people, you know, some reassurance. You know what I mean? I don't think it has to be verbally all the time.
But I also think it must be tough, though. Like, on some level, if you're, like, a multimillionaire athlete, sure, I'm sure there's lots of attention you get, but how do you figure out?
Thank you.
Which
how
one's
do you
the
figure
realest?
This is why every Drake album is, I don't trust anyone.
How can you?
Especially when you're not just the guy that's in the league. Like, you're the guy in the league. So it's like, women who don't watch the sport know your name. You know what I mean? That's when it gets to a different level where, like, you're in the spot and you're seeing a girl Google you and your net worth. And it's like, how do I navigate this? Yeah. Like, how do you figure out who's genuine, even from a relationship, from a friendship standpoint?
Yeah.
How do you do that?
Yeah, you're as a movie star or as a TV star.
He's in Marvel.
You know what I'm saying? And being this famous dude, how do you disseminate and figure out and distinguish if somebody's really approaching you with true intentions as opposed to being a fangirl or a fanboy? You know what I mean? Like,
I mean,
have you found ways to like disseminate the two and kind of just say, hey, now I can see where you're coming from, but you're cool.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, it's funny because even now, and I know I'm on TV, I know, but it's hard for me to really internalize the idea that anybody gives a shit.
Yeah.
But you know, so there's a bit of a mind game I have to play with myself with that. To be honest, I give people the benefit of the doubt all the time. I am of the ilk that I prefer to find out that I was wrong and trust too much than I'm too defensive and
facts.
I don't trust anybody.
Facts.
So I just go in and let people prove me wrong. Okay, well, then I try.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never been the, I trust no one. Like, yeah. I've never been that person. I'm always, like, very trusting up front.
That's
until
bag.
The person that does something no to one. Break yeah, that trust
no right.
or harm
right.
that trust because
never beating that
yeah
it's the,
it feels like a lonely way to move through the world
yeah right, right. But also the other thing is I'm not out in these streets so I'm not out I'm not you know like I'm just I'm yeah. so it's yeah not, it's not out.
So yeah. when girls holler at you on Tinder and you're like I'm just messing but when shorties are hollering or when right. you're trying to holler. Like, do you ever feel the need to make sure you don't mention the fact that you're in these things?
Or that they or, don't mention it?
Or do you make it a point to be like, hey, listen, I'm a guy. All right?
And, I'm Obama.
But I'm still a human being, so don't make this side of my life you,
there was a
be
point
too much.
When there was a point when I was single and I was, like, on the apps. And this is when, actually, I came off Tinder. Is people would start hitting me up and I got like, you know, I'd match them and I'd be like, oh, great. I mean, this person's really cute. And then I realized they just wanted to be like, are you the guy from the they weren't even interested in me. They weren't even trying to get with me. You know, it was just like, you're the guy, right? And I'd be like, yeah, so you interested? Well, I just wanted to check if you were the guy. And I was like, oh, man, this is for me.
So we fucking a one. I'm in Toronto for a limited time. So what up, like, Shirty?
So back then, you were posting like your full profile on...
Sorry, say that again?
Were you posting like your full self on these apps?
Well, I'm talking about like the cusp time. The time between nobody really knew who I was to there was a transition of like, oh, people kind of know who I am a little bit. So it was during that time.
Okay. I'm asking because there's a story in the news right now where a celebrity posted himself on a dating app, right?
Right.
He didn't post his whole body. He just posted his torso.
Right.
Right. This guy's famous. For those of you who don't know, it's Jerrod Carmichael.
Okay.
I don't know if you guys watched.
Did you watch the show?
I did watch
the show. I didn't watch the show yet.
I watched the show, and you guys need to watch
it. I'm so excited.
So he posted himself on Grindr?
On Grindr, yeah. But he didn't post his whole body because, you know, he's famous, right? So he just posted his torso, and he had a lot of gay men coming into his hotel. Like, a lot. And it was on the show and stuff. So I was curious to know if that's how you're moving, but I guess
on Grindr?
Yeah. Yeah, man. Not Grindr.
He's like, you, interesting you say that. Yeah.
He's asking if you post your pecs right on.
That's hilarious.
That's so funny.
I
yeah,
mean,
no.
Did you have to take yourself off these apps after?
Yeah, eventually I took myself off the apps. I mean, there's the Raya app.
Raya.
So you know, I tried that for a little bit, but
a little bit.
Anyway, I'm out of the game.
Slide into Scarlett Johansson's.
I was working with her, but I
oh sorry,
she's right. Yeah,
hey, Rita Ora,
yo,
what's up?
Yo, widow.
Yo, ScarJo. I'm out of the game. I'm out of the game. Retired, you know, so this
good
is
man.
Not, it's not
good
something
man.
I need to worry about.
Code words, right. Nice.
Retired.
No, the Jerrod Carmichael clip that was going around this. So he has a reality show. Mm-hmm. That is it a true reality show or is it somewhat scripted?
It's a reality show
with structure.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's real dialogue. It doesn't seem like there's a script. It's
people say
so.
It's almost too real.
Yes.
Like uncomfortably
His
real.
Friend said that. Like, this is like masturbatory. You shouldn't do this. This is weird. You have these cameras in your face. You have people coming in and acting like it's real life. It's not real life. And it's just, it's interesting.
The scene that went super viral was with him sitting down with Tyler, the Creator, and expressing to Tyler that, you know, the last time we spoke was a while back. I don't know how long. They don't really say how much time has passed.
You're pretty much saying, I didn't reveal I was gay at the time.
No, he did. He said, oh, the so last time we spoke, I told you I had feelings for you.
Yeah.
Do you remember what you said? And Ty was like, nah, I think it was like something like, super normal. Yeah. And he's like, you sent me a voice note laughing and said, called me a stupid bitch. So it's like, yo, I got feelings for you. And Tyler, the Creator's voice, dying. His voice, yeah. saying, ha ha, stupid bitch.
Stupid bitch.
And that's the last thing that was said.
Yeah.
For however long they haven't spoken, right? And so he sits them down to talk about this. And Tyler's basically like, dog, I'm super straight.
I'm not actually dating Jaden Smith. And then, I'm just fucking around.
Imagine. And then, yeah, the conversation goes on. Tyler, like, orders food.
Yeah, it's awkward because it's a weird show. You feel very uncomfortable watching it. But Gerard Carmichael is basically saying, you know, I told you I loved you and or I had feelings for you and you kind of just avoided me. And Tyler's there like just like being uncomfortable and avoidant. And then at one point, Gerard is being super dramatic and he's like in a ball.
Did you see
and
that?
Holding his head. And then Tyler's like to the food and the food comes in. And then he starts eating the food with his hands and like they're sharing stuff. And he literally.
That guy's licking like, his fingers and shit.
It was an interesting scene.
Yeah,
man.
No, it was very interesting. My thing was like, it just reminded, I don't know why it came to my head, but it reminded me of when Offset tried to like reconcile with Cardi B on a stage somewhere. I don't know what show it was.
Oh, yeah.
You remember that? And it was like mad manipulative. Like, why do you have these cameras for this moment? You see what I'm saying? Like, and it's Tyler, the Creator.
Yeah.
He's already an idiot. Like, he's already going to make a joke out of anything.
Yeah.
And now you put the cameras in his face to kind of, like, almost hold him accountable.
Exactly.
On television.
Yeah.
And it's like, Tyler still didn't give him what he wanted.
It's very selfish. Like, even in that situation, like, if you have feelings for a friend and they're giving you a non-answer, which is also an answer, figure it out. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That, did you feel like Tyler was wrong in how he
responded?
Tyler responded and how Tyler responds. I think if you're friends with people, then you know how they respond to things, right? You can't be expecting a certain type of answer from them. So true. Gerard's wrong in that situation.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah.
Well, Max. Max, it's on Hulu.
It's on Hulu.
We don't know where that is in Canada. We're figuring out.
Yeah. All right.
For VPNs, if you guys need VPNs, Duke has a registration.
Yeah. I got you.
It really gets kicked off after the first episode.
The first episode was great. Very solid.
Hilarious. There's a show called Presumed Innocent, which I'm doing for Apple, which is coming out in a couple of months as well, which is worth checking out. Yeah.
Who else is in there? Innocent?
Jake Gyllenhaal.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Wait, amazing.
Presumed Innocent.
Jake Gyllenhaal.
No. I wanted to know the title.
Oh, Presumed Innocent. Yeah.
So it has to do with crime.
Yeah, it's actually based off of an 80s movie with Harrison Ford. And it's about a guy that's accused of killing his lover.
Are you Harrison?
No, I play the prosecutor.
Okay. Ah, nice. You do have a prosecutor look.
Yeah, you do.
I see the power shoulders.
You got
range, man. That's
great. I've got a really funny voice for it as well. A weird accent, which I kind of... There's a bad guy in Ghostbusters. The very first Ghostbusters, the bad guy in it. I was like, I'm going to steal your accent and I'm going to use it in something. So
Why him?
It was just so funny to me. I just love the way he talked.
He was
I'm trying to remember how he said. He was like, "Are you the one who came on Thursday night?" And it was just like, "Oh my god, you're just so intense."
Sounds like John Lovitz for some reason.
Yeah, exactly, John Lovitz.
So you could just like choose your accent sometimes.
Yeah, basically, yeah. I mean,
unless you're obviously Obama, but
yeah, yeah. I mean, but yeah, you have to make 1,000 decisions. You know, I have to decide how he sits. You know, like
creating a real, you're creating a person essentially. So it's like there's so many little decisions that are based on, like, they give you, I guess, the baseline of the character's personality. Nothing.
Nah. Well, you look, there's a change because, you know, once upon a time, not too long ago, I was auditioning for all my parts. So if I audition, then in the audition room, they can say they like it, they don't like it, I get hired for it, I don't get hired for it. Now I get more offers, which is great as an actor. Like, it's Valhalla. You know, I get a call, do you want to do this? Yeah, I'm down, let's go. But the scary part is, they got no idea what you're going to do. So I turned up on the first date, no one had heard me do this weird accent. I was just like, well, you guys going to fucking find out now.
I mean, and you, like, spending as much time as you did in Toronto, like, did you ever take on the Toronto accent at some point?
You know what?
Like,
I've been listening out. I cannot do it, but I've been listening all the time.
It's so close to UK.
I really like it.
It's so close to UK.
You think?
Yeah. I mean, we say, you know what you say, and we say, yo, fam, we say, yo,
madam.
All the Jamaican crossovers.
All the Jamaican crossovers.
The West Indian crossover is where that influence comes from.
Can you do an English accent?
I mean... You know what? I don't know what English accent I'm doing when I'm doing it.
in it. That's my favorite. That's the best word in English.
Oh wait, governor. Like, I can't. Like, I got nothing.
Not the tea and crumpets, boys. Oh no.
Hello.
Cheerio.
Yo, Duchesne, get the food, fam.
Yeah. Where's the fucking peas, bro?
Where's the fucking peas?
Fucking hell, bro.
Standard procedure, fam.
We watch a lot of Love Island. Tonight!
You watch a lot of Love Island.
All the hoods, kid all hoods.
I watch The Crown.
Yeah, have you, how do you feel about the black UK scene over there? Because I feel like it's leagues ahead of what we're doing over here. They've figured it out.
There is such an energy and genius. Like every time I turn around, there's some ingenious thing, both on the music side and on the film and TV side. I'm proud.
You guys do it right over there, man. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Especially like with Mo and all those guys. Yeah. Mo's killing it.
Big Nasty.
Chunks and Philly. Like it's nonstop names over there that are just. Because over here, like you think there's so many people, especially in this city, that I personally am like, you should be on billboards. You should be doing this and that. And we just don't have the infrastructure over here. But also, it's like a population thing, right? You guys have way more numbers than us.
Is that right?
In order to cultivate. I don't know.
How many people you got in Canada?
Same amount of people in Canada.
No,
the same amount of people in California.
41 million. We just got 1 million in the last 9 months.
Yeah. Oh, right.
So now we're doing it too fast, though. Yeah. Housing is...
Oh, really?
It's a whole thing. Anyways.
I was going to say that maybe it's because black folks immigrated to the UK before they came here, right? Because they were just coming to Canada in like the 60s, 70s.
That's the same time as them.
No, but I feel like maybe from like Africa, I feel like it was before then.
It was Windrush. Windrush was 60s, 70s.
Yeah, 50s, like after the Second World War. But the thing is, though, is 50s, 60s. It wasn't always like this. When I graduated drama school, a little while back now, there was no black British actors known in the States. There was no Idris, there's no Chiwetel, there was no Daniel Kaluuya.
Smallwood.
There was zero people.
Wow. There's Hugh Grant.
Yeah, and so this, a part of it might be about, you know, might come a time in Canadian Toronto black culture where it kicks off, because it didn't kick off for us for a little while. You know, Noel Clark started doing his...
Musically, we have it.
To an extent. I feel like they have their own scene that flourishes within itself and doesn't need outside.
They don't need America.
They don't need...
Internally,
Internally. We don't have that internally.
Toronto can't.
We don't have that. You can't flourish on yourself.
We need America. We need America to survive.
Yeah, absolutely.
We don't support each other enough internally. That was the whole stigma is that it's a crabs in a barrel, screw face capital, and you need to leave to be able to be accepted here. Like leave and come back. So
whereas they don't, they get that the whole collaboration.
But in terms of music
stuff.
In general, like we have the top tier people in multiple genres.
But they I think as far as volume goes, America will always win. But when it comes to like just top tier acts, like we'll have we'll be at the top one, but then everybody else going down is America. You know what I mean? So yes, we got the best, but we only have one of the best, and then they have a shitload. Mm-hmm.
I think Little Sims is the best female rapper on the planet, and she's from the UK.
On the planet?
I don't think there's a better female rapper than her.
Nice.
Personally.
I'm not going to challenge him. He's right there.
I think she's got it, man. But anyways, thank you so much for coming. Really appreciate you. Yeah. Can you give it up for OT, everybody? Yeah,
thanks
OT.
For having me.
Keep it going for What a Jerk, for all the food. Keep it going for Humanity Over Vanity. Thank you so much for providing this. You guys can follow Humanity Over Vanity on Instagram.
Great.
Or speak to Donisha in the back there.
And then also the Don Arts Academy.
Yeah, shout out to the Don Arts. Shout out to Gavin for helping put this together.
Thank you to It's Okay for providing the space.
Yeah, shout out to Winter, It's Okay. And thank you to Max.
Thank you.
Appreciate it, man.
Yay. And thank you guys.
Boom.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues. your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.